Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a second grade teacher who took a week to do a study, a science unit on magnets. She brought magnets to the class. She had the class experiment with the magnets. She taught about the ability of magnets to attract iron or steel. And she allowed her students to play with the magnets. And they loved it in learning about the power of the magnet. At the end of the week, she gave her class a test. The first question of the test was this. What six-letter word that starts with M describes something that picks things up? Over half the class answered with this word, mother. Sorry, moms. I think you probably agree. You pick a lot of things up, haven't you, over the years? Well, I'm not going to talk about Mother's Day today, but I do want to take a moment to thank the mothers and grandmothers who are here and for what you do. It makes a tremendous difference in the world, in the lives of families. You may never hear that or not hear it often enough, but I'm here to tell you, you're making a big, big difference. I was blessed with a wonderful, godly mother. I have three younger brothers. If they were here today, they'd say the same thing. She was 5'2", full of energy, and she could be as tough as nails if she had to be. And believe me, there were times the four sons she had to be. But her love, you know, made all the difference in our lives. So I just want to thank the moms and grandmas here for what you do. This morning, I would like to focus on the gospel lesson in John, in particular, these two verses, 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. In 1965, Hal David teamed up with Burt Bacharach to write this song, What the World Needs Now. Remember that one? Okay. It was first sung by Jackie DeShannon. I didn't realize that. But later, and this is what I remembered, it was sung by Dionne Warwick. It was so popular that in 4 months it moved to number 7 in the U.S. and number 1 in Canada. Now, why was it so popular? Was it because it had a good beat and was easy to dance to, as Dick Clark used to say, the late Dick Clark used to say that about songs he liked? Well, maybe. Or maybe the lyrics resonated with that particular time in history. Our country was in tremendous turmoil in the 60s and all kinds of unrest. And I'm sure you know the first line of that song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just what? Too little of. There you go. Yes. Well, what kind of love did the world need in 1965? And what kind of love does the world need today? Is it romance? Well, romance is always nice. There are plenty of marriages starving for romance. Romance in marriage can come and go, but it doesn't hurt to have romance flourish in marriage. I think more romance would be a good thing. Is that what the world needed in 1965? Or maybe it's the love of a friend. You know, friends are a gift. The love of a friend can help you get through a difficult time. The love of a friend will encourage you and will be there for you when times get tough. Friends are really important, and to be a good friend is a good thing. So maybe that's what the world needed in 65, it needs now. Or maybe it's more tough love. That's what the world needs. Tough love understands the importance of truth and the consequences of unhealthy behavior. Some of you have had to express tough love to a child or maybe to a grandchild, and you know that certainly didn't have the same feeling as romance or the love of a friend. Yet at times, it's important to show tough love because you want the best for the person you love. You realize that love means you can't enable bad behavior. So maybe our world needs a little bit more tough love now and then. And I suppose the world needs all these expressions of love. It needs romance, friendship, and tough love. But I want to know, what does the Bible say the world needs? Well, as you read through the Bible from beginning to end, it becomes really clear. What the world needs is God's love. That's what we need. And as one theologian described that love, said, we need love which is unmerited, freely given, and selfless. Well, that describes the love of God, which we find in the Scriptures. It describes how God has loved his creation, even though the creation oftentimes turns against God. And I believe this is an accurate description of Jesus' love for each one of us. I think it's at the very heart of the gospel. It's a clear understanding this is how God loves us. Even though we don't deserve it, we're bankrupt, could never buy it, and we've turned in ourselves, ignoring our Creator. This is what the world needs now. It's God's love. Every single human heart longs for this. And it's the message of the gospel that Jesus gave to his church to share with the world. Guy Dowd was the nation's teacher of the year in 1986. Maybe some of you have heard of Guy. And he had an inspiring speech called Molder of Dreams. If you ever have a chance to look it up and see it, I really encourage you to watch the speech. Extremely inspiring. But in this talk, he shares that as a youngster, he was ridiculed, he was teased, and he was bullied at school. Why? Because he was quite overweight. When he went home, he didn't get much support because his family was a mess. But he went to church. He went to the church youth group. And there at church, he heard about God and how God loves people. He just wondered if it could be possible God could love him. And he says, I was looking for Jesus with skin on. I was looking for somebody, a Christian person, who could come alongside me and show me this love so I could experience it too. Well, for him, it did happen. A Christian man in his church came alongside him, befriended him, and mentored him. And this man took seriously the command of Jesus that we're to love one another. And Guy Dowd said it absolutely turned his life around. Jesus with skin on was that man who mentored him. Rick Warren wrote in The Purpose-Driven Life that life is all about love. Because God is love, he said, the most important lesson God wants you to learn on earth is how to love. Learning to love, like Jesus, of course, is not natural to us. We talked about that in the Fruit of the Spirit sermon series. But God will place us in situations where we will learn to love, and he promises to be with us to help us love like he does. And when you hear Jesus say that loving him is a commandment, you realize, you know what? This is really important. It's not just a part of life. Love is the most important part of life. Here's what John said in 1 John. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Well, that's what life is about. We are here to learn how to love. And if we don't learn how to love, we've wasted our lives. No matter how impressive our achievements or accomplishments may be, if we don't learn how to love, it means we really don't know God either, because God is love. So we can have all kinds of honors in our lives. We can have all kinds of respect we've earned. But if we've never learned how to love, life will be hollow. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Beautiful chapter. And it ends with these words. These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. But then it goes on to the next chapter, 14, and here's this verse in the RSV. Make love your aim. I just love that. Very simple. What's life about? Well, make love your aim. That's your target. That's what you shoot for every day, to make love your aim. Because without love, life is empty. Without love, it's empty. With love, there's a fullness to life. Life without loving as Jesus lived is a life, or as Jesus loved, is a life that's never reached the full potential that God has for each of us. To live and not love is not to fulfill the purpose that God has given to us. Now, you may have said, like I've said on occasions, I'm just too busy when there's a situation that demands time and sacrifice and love. I'm just too busy. But when we hurry and we're too busy, we no longer have the capacity to love. I once heard that children spell the word love this way, T-I-M-E, time. And I think that's so true. Children love when we just spend time with them. Now, Lynn isn't with me today because she's home, because our son and his wife from Kingman are visiting. And I know that those grandchildren are receiving all kinds of attention, all kinds of T-I-M-E. And they know their grandma loves them. And yesterday, she spent 3 hours at a baseball game in 90-degree weather for another grandson. And he knows, too, his Nana loves him. T-I-M-E. The essence of love is not the gifts we give or the things we provide. The essence of love is when we give ourselves to someone else. And love also leaves a legacy. How you treat other people, not your wealth or accomplishments, will be the most enduring memory that people will have of you. I came across this quotation, which goes back to a book almost 70 years ago, but I think it's helpful for us to hear. God loves simply because it's his nature to love. Okay, that's his character. That's how God loves. But how about the next part? And children of God love because they take after their father and delight to do as he does. That's what we love. God's loved us, and we delight to do as he does. The world needs love. The world needs God's love. And God gives the gift of that love through us when we are Jesus with skin on for somebody else. I've told you before, but in the early church, they were known as people who loved one another. And not only loved one another, they loved people outside the church and sacrificed for those people. And so their legacy was very simple. Look how those Christians love one another. Look how they love even strangers. The legacy of love. So what will love look like if you want to love like Jesus and you abide in him? Well, let me give you three ways. When you love as Christ loves, your love will be unmerited. But God shows his love for us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. From the story of the fall of Adam and Eve to the end of the Bible, it is clear that God's love is an unmerited love. It's an unconditional love. He simply loves his world. Character after character in the Bible are flawed individuals, just like us. That's why it's really so important and inspiring to read the Bible. You read these flawed individuals, and God still loves them and uses them in amazing ways. And yet God not only loves them, but he showed his love in the ultimate way when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Many of you have read the book Unbroken or saw the movie. Did you see that or read it? About Louis Zamperini, who was an Olympic runner in the 1936 Olympics. Amazing runner. Then in World War II, he was captured by the Japanese, and he spent a long time in a Japanese prison camp where he was beaten almost daily. And there was a corporal there that just had his number. Maybe it's because he was famous. Zamperini was famous. He was Olympian. And this corporal just picked on him mercilessly. And it's amazing that he didn't die in camp. Well, he survived the war, went home. But what most people didn't know when he got home was that inside he was just seething with anger and hatred. And he didn't want to forgive anybody. So he started to drink heavily, and his life spiraled out of control. And finally, his wife convinced him to go to hear an evangelist in Los Angeles. Now, this evangelist was having a revival. He wasn't very well known at the time, but he went to hear him. And at that revival, that evangelist was Billy Graham. At that revival, he gave his life to Christ. And the grace of God, the love of God washed over him, and he became a new being. He was born again. He was a new person, a new creation in Christ. And so what he decided to do was that he was going to go back to Japan and he was going to forgive his captors, especially that corporal who was in charge of all the beatings he had received. And he went back to Japan. He did as Jesus commanded him, and he was able to meet with many of those people and to forgive them. But unfortunately, that corporal refused to go see Zamperini. Well, let me ask you this. Is it possible to love others who do not deserve our love? Can we do that? Well, Louis Zamperini showed it is indeed possible. Not on his own strength, but with God's help. We may not have the emotional strength to do the act of loving and forgiving another, but God will help us as we stay connected to him. And when you love as Christ loves, your love will be given freely. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. There was a young man, a transient, who walked into church one Sunday. He was shoeless, he was unkempt, and he walked to the back door and looked around to see if there's a place to sit. There's no place to sit. And so he walked down the aisle, and he sat right down there on the floor, just sat on the floor. Well, this was a very traditional church. People dressed properly at church. And so a man in the back got up who was an elder of the church who had lectured people about how they should dress when they go to church. And this man got up and he started walking towards the front. And you could feel tension build. What's going to happen now? And the man walked up and he simply sat down on the floor next to this homeless man. Afterwards, he was asked about it. He said, well, it looked to me like he needed a friend. And he needed to know that God loved him. You know, that is love given freely. Looking out for somebody who you don't even know and sharing God's love. So I'm going to challenge you. Keep your eyes open this week. And don't be surprised if God doesn't put you in a situation where you could freely share the love of God with somebody else. When you love God or love others as Christ loves, your love will also be selfless and courageous. Jesus said, no one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. But we live in a time in history where I think the self has taken over. You watch any ad on TV and they'll tell you, you deserve this product. Never tell you why you deserve it, but you deserve it because, you know, you're so important. And so I, and me become the center of everything. I'm amazed there's even room for all the egos that we have because of the emphasis on I. But when somebody is selfless in love, it inspires people, doesn't it? You see an act of selflessness, and you say to yourself, gee, I'd like to be like that. I don't want to just focus on me. I want to focus on others. That's inspiring. Years ago, an acquaintance of Lynn and mine from Kingman took a trip to Cabo, Mexico. Some of you have been there, and you know if you walk on the beaches, you got to be careful because every once in a while, some big waves will come and can wash people into the ocean. And they're riptides. Well, our friend was walking the ocean when he heard another man calling for help because he had been caught in a riptide. So our friend went to rescue him. And sadly, both he and the other man drowned. He had selflessly and courageously tried to rescue him and showed that kind of love. Well, what does it take to love like that? Well, it does take a selflessness, doesn't it? And it takes tremendous courage. And that's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for us. And he calls us to be selfless and courageous. You know, it might call for us to lay down our life sometime. But sometimes it's just laying down our ego that we might help and rescue somebody else. And here's the key to love. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the source of that love. Because we can't give what we don't have. So I pray that if you've not experienced yet the love of Christ, you might know him, but you need to experience his love and his grace. He is the source of love who can fill you up to love other people. Keeping this commandment is dependent on fellowship with God and a personal experience of God's love. Because as I said, you cannot give what you don't have. So if you desire more love in this world, well, then begin with yourself by receiving the wondrous love of Christ and then looking for opportunities to share that with others. Let me finish with a little pearl of wisdom from Mother Teresa. Here's what she said. It's not what you do, but how much love you put into it that matters. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, but this world needs a love that's unmerited, that is selfless, that is freely given, and that is courageous. You see, there's no guarantees we'll have tomorrow, so today is the day to love as Jesus has commanded us to do. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your mercy, your grace, and your unconditional love. In the scriptures today, you command us to obey you and love others. Well, we ask, Lord, you would fill our hearts with overflowing love so we can bring this love to the world that needs it. And Father, on this Mother's Day, we thank you for godly mothers who have influenced their children and grandchildren to follow you. Amen.